All right, Don Callis turning on Kenny Omega finally. You know, we all expected that for quite some time. The only thing is, and we've had this discussion before, is he the void that is left by William Regal in the Blackpool Combat Club? I'm not that sure. You know, Don Callis is a perfect heel. You know, being the babyface in the Elite, it just didn't fit. You all know that. But I just can't picture him in the Blackpool Combat Club for the long haul. You know, he just comes off more like a chicken shit heel. And you got to start thinking about the AEW roster and who would be ideal for him to manage. Maybe he manages someone who maybe isn't that strong on the mic, like a Powerhouse Hobbs or something else. Now, I'm brainstorming right now. I haven't really looked at the roster to think about it. But for now, it adds a nice little twist to the storyline. It gets the Elite even more over as baby faces leading into Double or Nothing as they continue their feud with the Blackpool Combat Club. And then you got to start thinking that dilemma that is going to happen in the very near future. And that is when CM Punk returns. And that return is going to be announced much sooner than people realize. How do you handle it? The crowd probably split as far as CM Punk. And I think that's how they're going to play it off on TV. You know, we have talked about how, if you look at Bryan Danielson and how, you know, he addresses the AEW roster and he's trying to make the roster better. And, you know, there's a lot of problems in the cracks of AEW. It kind of echoes a little bit of the situation with CM Punk. We've talked about that. You know, Bryan Danielson calling out the Elite and how coddled they are and everything else. It kind of felt a little bit about what's going on with CM Punk. Now you look at the Jericho storyline. And Jericho, with this court order, that whenever he's in the building, Adam Cole is banned. Wow, doesn't that kind of sound like what a lot of the fake news reported for a couple of months? That CM Punk was going to be segregated to AEW Collision and the Elite, and everybody that hates CM Punk would wrestle on Dynamite, and the ones that are cool with CM Punk or indifferent would also appear on Collision. Yeah, you see how quietly that changed today. I want to welcome everyone to Wednesday Night Dynamite. It is May 10th, 2023, a little bit after 10 p.m. Dynamite just went off the air. Fun show, definitely better than the last couple of weeks, and I don't know how much that says because the last couple of weeks it's been heavily focused on the four pillars. Four pillars are not drawing the numbers. People are now starting to say that MJF's title run has not been as strong as people expected. I still think we're going to get MJF versus Kenny Omega, even if it's for just a one-match deal and not even a long storyline feud. I think we're getting that down the line. But it's a little bit after 10. My apologies for anybody that showed up in the Discord channel tonight expecting to have this live. I was expecting to do this live as well. You know, the fact of the matter is that I posted the links for 2 weeks and told everyone that, you know, if you want me to do a live show, I will do it live instead of pre-recorded. And I had a boatload of people like, yeah, do it live, do it live, do it live. And we got to 10:05 and not really much of anybody showed up. So going forward, I'm going to pre-record most of these shows on Wednesdays. I'll do probably half the show during the day. After Dynamite ends, we will do the other half, recap in Dynamite, and talk about any other news tidbits that breaks late on a Wednesday, and then we post the shows at midnight. So in the future, DonTony.com, around midnight, Wednesdays, you'll get your usual episode. Tonight, we're going to talk about AEW. Big news going around. Got to clear up a lot of bullshit as well. Some fake news are really, really backpedaling now about the roster split, the hard roster split, the not so hard roster split, the soft roster split. And now reality kicks in and they realize, or they probably knew all along, they were clickbaiting the fuck out of all of you. You know, we knew it from the beginning. It just didn't make sense. Even last week when we talked about WarnerMedia Discovery, you know, do you honestly think that they're going to invest that kind of money in AEW and the locker room is so shaky that you have to segregate people that they can't be on the same show together because they hate each other that much? Just think about the logic of that. It's just asinine. It's stupid. And, you know, speaking of roster splits, I got to bring this up too. You know, Fightful is really the leader right now as far as posting accurate news. And listen, I'm not kissing their ass. I'm not looking for a job. But one thing that they do also, that is really, really noticeable, and I'm sure a lot of you have noticed as well, is what they don't talk about. You have everybody and their mother just writing whatever anybody says, and if they can't verify it, they don't post it. Case in point, this $1.1/$1.2 billion deal that WarnerMedia and AEW are going to sign and all this other stuff. And if you look closely, all the journalists that threw that out over the last 24 hours were the ones that were very upset at the Andrews Arians, at the Fightfuls that broke a whole bunch of CM Punk and AEW news the last couple of weeks, and they were left out in the cold. So we are 1 week away. You know, and we're going to clear up a lot of bullshit tonight, and I will give it to you in very simple English so you can understand it very easily. But a week from today, the 17th of May, Warner Brothers Discovery will be in New York City at Madison Square Garden, the theater at Madison Square Garden. They're going to be doing an event, and basically it's called Warner Brothers Discovery Upfront. They talk about all of the deals that they're going to be doing. They talk about movies. They talk about the NBA. They talk about TNT, TBS, HBO Max. If you go online in the wrestling sites, actually, if you want to do one step better, just do a regular Google search. Don't do Google News. Don't do Google. Just do a regular Google search and type in AEW Warner Brothers Discovery, May 17th. You'll find it kind of weird that all the entertainment and the business sites are talking about all the ventures that Warner Brothers Discovery is involved. If you go to a wrestling website, they focus solely on AEW as if AEW will be the focus of next Wednesday. And AEW is definitely a part of it because next Wednesday it will be made public, it will be made official, that AEW Collision is going to be coming. If anybody saw Dynamite tonight, pay very close attention to what Tony Khan said. When Tony Khan said that there's going to be a huge announcement next week, one of the most important announcements in the history of AEW, he said tune into TNT next Wednesday. Let me pull that back. He said tune into TNT next Wednesday. Dynamite's not on TNT. Regular programming is on TNT. He's telling everyone to watch TNT next Wednesday because they're going to announce Warner Brothers Discovery that Collision is coming to TNT. And this is going to be a new show. We've talked about it for quite some time. But getting back to the fake news, how do they take back the focus of what's going on? Because they have been in the back burner while everybody else that's important is breaking news. Well, they come out over the last 24 hours as if a sports team is signing a free agent. If you pay attention the last couple of years for Warner Brothers Discovery, you pay attention to other streaming networks, Peacock, Paramount, and others. You know, when they make deals, it's not like they're signing an NBA player and they're like, 5 years, $75 million with bonuses. That's not how it works. And they were throwing these numbers out there the last 24 hours. And the funny thing is that a lot of this originated on message boards, Wrestling Observer's message board. Gee, where did we hear that before? And the cute thing about it, and I'm not going to even mention any of the journalists that ran with this shit, but I remember seeing something this morning where a journalist that was teasing this, you know, trying to write it off like, you know, I was talking on a message board. I wasn't reporting this everywhere. And then, just in case what he said is actually comes true, he writes, maybe I'm writing a prediction. Maybe I'm writing a spoiler. And I'm like, oh, go fuck yourself. Seriously. You know, you talk on both sides of your mouth just in case it ends up being a $1 billion deal. And listen, I'm not saying that AEW couldn't ink a $1 billion deal. You know, I've made $1 million, everyone. I have. I probably made $1 million over the last 35, 40 years, combined. But the thing is that people looking at the WWE deal, people are now looking at AEW. They're looking at the $144 million that they did several years ago. Now they look at the additional shows that, Warner Brothers Discovery, that AEW is no longer streaming on YouTube, so all the content's going to be there. And then the streaming service is definitely something to keep your eyes on. These people are looking all of that, and they are guessing. They are guessing what they believe would be a fair deal. Look at Brandon Thurston. I respect Brandon Thurston. He does a great job with financials and ratings. But even tonight, he's writing things like AEW generates 90 cents per viewer. So I don't even know what the fuck he was trying to say. The bottom line is that he came up with some mathematical equation where he thinks that AEW could realistically get $200 to $220 million. Now, he could be right, but the thing is that all of these journalists on these bullshit sites, they look at that closely, and they start running with it as a news story. And that's why when you become a journalist, when you become an analyst, you got to be very careful how you post your opinions, because a lot of people interpret it as fact. If you look at any other people in the media world, in baseball, basketball, and politics, once you start becoming a reporter or a journalist, you got to kind of pull back on your opining a little bit, unless you're an opiner. I opine. That is what I do. Once in a while we'll break something, but for the most part, I react to what is going on with dudes. I try to make sense of it. I try to make common sense of it. So for the last 24 hours, this $1.2 billion narrative is guessing. It's assumption. It's hope. And people are reporting it as news until it blows up, and then that's when people backtrack. Look at what's going on now. You have a boatload of wrestling websites that are running for cover, and don't fall for the smoke and mirrors. They are running for cover because for months they have been pushing this narrative that they were having a hard roster split. CM Punk was going to be segregated to Collision, and everybody that did not like him and didn't get along with him would be on Dynamite, and everybody who got along with him or were indifferent would be on Collision. Now reality kicks in. You got advertisers, and that is a huge deal. We have no idea what AEW's Collision ratings are going to end up being. The idea that CM Punk would be regulated just to Saturday nights, and if the ratings stink, that they're not going to move him to Dynamite. What did you see come out today? The news reports. Fightful was the one that put it out, and I believe them, because Fightful never ran with the original hard roster split nonsense. They wrote today that AEW already has Saturday dates lined up to record Collision, and I think also to do some Ring of Honor programming as well. But when needed, they will record episodes of Collision on a Thursday night as a back-to-back in a building of Dynamite on Wednesday, Collision on Thursday. And you start realizing, like, okay, what's happening is that AEW, look at Rampage. Was Rampage a roster split? Everyone, think about this. Was Rampage a roster split? No, it wasn't. But if you look at the results of a Dynamite and you look at the results of a Rampage, the people are always different. Why is that? Well, that's because you really are not going to have people wrestle two times on the same night. It's very, very rare. So when Rampage is taped the same night as a Dynamite, well, there's different people fighting. Everybody who's live at the Dynamite gets to see it that Wednesday, and then it airs on a Friday. That's not a roster split. So people are starting to realize, okay, common sense. There are so many unknowns with a Saturday night show, and if the ratings are not good, and you got advertised, you got that much money involved, WarnerMedia, Warner Brothers Discovery, WarnerMedia Discovery, they're not, they don't have this personal, love you know, connection with AEW, at the end of the day, it's business. It's strictly business. If you look even at the doom and gloomers, and there's been a lot of doom and gloomers that don't like AEW in the wrestling world, and they talk about how, oh, Warner Brothers Discovery posted a $1.1 billion quarterly loss for the last quarter. And that is true. That is true. The thing is, though, is that even though Warner Brothers Discovery reported a net loss of $2.1 billion in the fourth quarter of last year, you know, the streaming media losses have diminished drastically. Their operating loss in February came in at $217 million compared to $728 million last year. Now, I'm not going to start throwing you all numbers and your heads explode. We'll let the experts do that. The point is that Warner Media, Warner Brothers Discovery, has really turned the corner with their streaming service. And they got 1.6 million subscribers since last year. Their stock is up 20% in the last 6 months. And when you start realizing that, you know, once they started doing these mergers, there was going to be some early upfront losses. But, you know, they have some movies that are going to be coming out. They think that the movies Dune 2 and The Flash, they think they could generate $1 billion of profitability in 2025 globally. You know, let that sink in. When you're throwing billion-dollar numbers around towards movies, and they did have a couple of bombs. You know, a lot of entertainment outlets point out the very lackluster reaction to the movie Shazam and Fury of the Gods that came out a couple of years ago. And the ad business has been soft. You know, a lot of people don't understand a lot of these things, but when you talk about WarnerMedia and you talk about Discovery, HGTV, TLC, you know, HBO Max, TNT, TBS, there is so much going on with Warner Brothers Discovery. And if you actually break down the numbers, they're actually not doing bad at all. And, you know, I think them investing in AEW is a very, very good risk to take. But there ain't no way that you're going to have people that CM Punk is responsible for AEW's biggest ratings, for their biggest buy rates. You know, if you really look, I don't think anybody denies that. And you're going to stick him to Saturday nights. What if the ratings are not good? You're going to pull back and insist that he cannot appear on a Wednesday. That's nuts. We knew that since day one. That's nuts. And now, because of the announcement next week that it'll be official, that Collision is coming, and it is happening in about a month. It's happening in about a month. So you got to start hyping that shit up. And trust me, AEW is going to be hyping that on TV. And if CM Punk is going to be, you know, early on, one of them big stars for Collision, well, you have to let your Wednesday night audience know about it. Now, obviously, early on, for storyline purposes, they will do it in a way that there's no reaction from the Elite or anything like that. That'll be left for storyline for later on to build for All In or All Out or wherever they decide to do. But next Wednesday is a big deal. And this will be streamed online. So if you go to Warner Brothers Discovery, if you go to their website, you go to their Facebook page, they have links up that next week, next Wednesday, you'll be able to watch this streaming live. All their announcements, one of them will be AEW Collision. Now, do not expect anything next week about $1.2 billion, $1 billion deal, 5 years of this and that. You know, that's something that will come out in due time. And you might even get a little drips and drabs of it next week. But if you look at the deals that Warner Brothers Discovery has done with NBA and other places, that's not how they do business. Look at the press releases of other networks out there. Look at the press releases when they work out deals. You know, a lot of times those specifics are not done when they happen. You know, that's revealed later on. And look, they're a publicly traded company. So the financials have to be released. I'm not saying that they're not. But the way people are portrayed in the last 24 hours, you would have thought they were signing like a sports player. And that's not how they do it. But be very careful of who you read online as far as the news goes. People are trying to get their name etched in history with some of this stuff. Everybody's about the hits and the views. We've been putting it out there repeatedly of so many sites that just throw shit out there and they'll milk it for months. Then when it gets to the point where they can't milk it anymore, even tonight, you know, I saw people that have been clickbaiting and bullshitting for months about this hard roster split. Now they're like, oh, you know, if that happens, that would be great for AEW. That would be great for AEW. The fuck are you talking about? You know, if Rampage had different people performing, if you're going to have two sets of shows being recorded during a week, it's like Raw and SmackDown. It's all one company. But you don't want AEW to do a hard roster split. So if Saturday start to tank a little bit, or it's disappointing as far as ratings go that you can't bring people to Wednesdays, don't strap yourself like that. Just put on some good shit, and you put people on TV where needed. Easy peasy. I know that sounds like a stupid phrase. Now, tonight on Dynamite, we had two returns. You know, maybe when you look back on it, kind of uneventful because the lights didn't go out. We didn't have the eruption from the crowd. Jesus, Miro. When Miro's wearing sunglasses, nobody knows who he is. They show him. And, you know, for those that didn't see Dynamite tonight, Miro made his return. Didn't say a word. He did. They showed him walking in the back, and they showed him from his calves up. And they're doing the body shot slowly. And when he got to his face, he had sunglasses on. You listen to the crowd, they didn't react at all. It was until he took the glasses off, and people were like, oh, shit, it's Miro. And Renee Paquette's like, what are you doing here? And he walks into Tony Khan's office. That's it. We don't see him for the rest of the day. So I'm sure, you know, people are not going to complain online because a cake and ice cream crew will go after them. But little uneventful. I think people were hoping the lights go off, we get surprises. But Miro, we can't say it for tonight. He deemed another check without wrestling. Thunder Rosa also showed up today. Thunder Rosa, she's like, hey, it's a good night to talk to Papi Khan. So she goes into Tony Khan's office, but that's it. We don't see either one of them for the rest of the day. And a little tidbit for those that are interested. Andrade, on his Twitter account, also posted a little teaser video with the AEW logo in the corner where he's putting on, I guess, like a chain. It looks like he's getting dressed. And people are looking at that as a sign that Andrade may be returning very, very soon to AEW. And listen, you know, what Fightful wrote today to me makes the most sense. That Collision is going to be AEW's secondary show, almost like what SmackDown is to Raw. Rampage is going to be more of like, they say what Sunday Night Heat used to be. I think more might be Velocity. You know, Sunday Night Heat, you know, once a month was a lead-in for a pay-per-view. Sunday Night Heat had some great matches, but Sunday Night Heat, it just didn't feel like there was a direction with that show. And trust me, I lived through all of the shows. I'm old. But, you know, it's going to be similar, as they say, Sunday Night Heat or Velocity. That's where Rampage is going to be. Rampage is going to be for the, you know, the real up-and-comers that need to get an opportunity. Saturday will be similar to like a SmackDown. And Ring of Honor, and I love this. I love this. Ring of Honor will feature not only, you know, some other stars that are not on the AEW programming, but it will open up opportunity for some indie stars that want to get noticed, maybe get a little work or get an opportunity. That's one of the things with ECW. I mean, look, Dr. Det Steve Williams for a cup of coffee, God rest his soul. Terry Gordy for a cup of coffee, God rest his soul. You know, you would have somebody come in, you know, for a very short stint. So having somebody from the indie circuit working a Ring of Honor show, one or two of them, I think that's a great idea. And if they get a buzz, somebody from yesteryear that is trying to rejuvenate their career, if they could get a little buzz out of it, who knows where it could lead. So I like the idea that Ring of Honor would be more of like where somebody could get an opportunity, you know, and maybe even end up with an AEW contract. So, look, great news for AEW. Absolutely. You know, and I'm glad this is all happening. But at the same time, though, you got to keep in the back of your mind, you know, the other issue that we have brought to light that a lot of you see what's going on. I mean, AEW All In has sold over 60,000 tickets, and that is incredible. That is awesome. It shows you that countries from afar that don't get the wrestling that they see on TV in their hometown, getting an opportunity to see it live, up close and personal, first time ever. Yeah, they're going to come out in droves for it. When you look in the backyard, and I'm not going to talk about any specific arenas, but you could do the research online. You know, AEW has shows that have sold only 100 tickets in like the last month. You know, in the United States, that only have 2,000-3,000 tickets sold in a 10,000-seat arena. You know, it's not like everything is suddenly selling out everywhere. So you got to be careful of the people online that you interact with also, because every time you post a little criticism, look, Jay White is taking on Ricky Starks next week. And I saw it tonight. You could go on, just search Jay White on Twitter. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Right away, people are like, wow, Jay White has been there a month, and this should be a double or nothing pay-per-view match, and they're doing it on Dynamite, and man, does it feel like he has fizzled out. And right away, the Cake and Ice Cream Clan, the usual suspects, you know, how could you criticize AEW when they just sold 60,000 tickets for All Out, All In? You know, like, every time you throw any little bit of criticism AEW's way right now, you get thrown right back in your face. All In, 60,000 tickets, Wembley, that's it. They can't do no wrong. And that is dangerous. That is dangerous because it's a Band-Aid. And listen, AEW doing, you know, beautiful revenue in the UK, there's a lot of expense involved as well. You don't want AEW to just be the promotion that travels all across the globe in order to get that kind of draw. You know, you have to address the issues at hand also. And if your regular business is within the United States and a lot of venues you're not drawing well, you have to try to figure out why. Now, the good news is we have Miro returning. The good news is CM Punk is returning. The good news is Andrade is returning. The good news is we might see Hobbs. You know, I know what people say, right? But you might see some people now starting to get a better opportunity with a second show. Keep in mind something I've been saying all along that still is not caught on with online with people, but it will. It will. And that is titles. What titles are going to be defended on Collision? Who is going to feature their championships on Collision? Are they going to create more titles? I don't think so. So you got to keep in the back of your mind that you're going to have champions that are going to have to defend their titles on Collision. So if people are not getting a championship opportunity right now, how do you fill that void without creating additional titles? So it's something that you got to think about. Definitely something that needs to be thought about. So very quickly, Dynamite tonight. Let me give you the quick results. Opening match, Claudio Castagnoli defeats Rey Fénix. It was a double jeopardy match, which basically meant that if Claudio wins, he gets an opportunity in the future for the Ring of Honor tag titles with a partner of his choice. Excalibur during the show said that Claudio could choose either Yuta or Moxley or Danielson. It'll probably be Yuta and Claudio. But if Ray Phoenix wins, then he gets a shot at Claudio's championship in the future. And Claudio wins the match, a flurry of elbows followed by a powerbomb. I think a lot of people thought that Ray Phoenix could possibly get the win because some people think that Ray Phoenix getting a possible title run is in the cards. I don't think so. Ray Phoenix is a tag team wrestler, and that's where he is best utilized. I think having Claudio win this, you know, is just to milk a little bit extra time, and Yuta will probably end up being the one pinned, and Yuta doesn't lose any momentum. Yuta is still a very, very young person, you know, that's going to be a star. Some people feel he's already a star. But Claudio gets the win. I think that surprised a decent amount of people out there. We had four segments tonight featuring the Pillars. We had one of MJF, one of Jungle Boy, one of Sammy Guevara, one of Darby Allin. I thought these segments were very, very well produced. They were pre-recorded. Each person got their, you know, their time to basically talk about themselves. You know, MJF, you don't need to go any further. Darby getting a little bit more personal about why he does what he does outside the ring and mental health, brings up his dad. Jungle Boy, Jack Perry, you know, unfortunately, when you see, you know, his segment, he sounds like he's narrating a book for, you know, for Audible. I mean, it's just something very, very bland about him. And by the way, I think Saturday we're going to play some sound clips of Jungle Boy and the controversy that's coming out of Manchester from a Q&A. I was going to play it tonight, but I'd rather do it with a live audience, and then we'll talk about it on Saturday. I got to be honest with you. You know, I watched the Q&A. I watched what Jungle Boy said about, you know, elders and taking advice and this and that. I didn't think he was that bad. I think he might be getting a little bit too much criticism. This is not the Hangman Page criticism that, you know, he's getting it, but I don't think it's deserved. But the segments tonight were very, very well produced. And CM Punk got a name drop tonight when MJF was talking about everybody he has defeated since he's been in AEW. Yeah, he mentioned CM Punk. So CM Punk is no longer a banned word on TV. I don't know how people received this segment. It was mixed reviews online. FTR is in the ring. Dax wants Mark Briscoe to come out because he wants to apologize to him. Instead, we get Jeff Jarrett, Jay Lethal, Sonjay Dutt, and Satnam Singh. Sonjay Dutt wants them to accept the Double or Nothing challenge for the tag titles. And it was a little goofy. Dax says they'll accept the challenge as long as Dutt and crew admit that they were just using Mark Briscoe. It sounds like kiddie shit, right? Mark Briscoe comes out with a lot of paper cups and a liquor bottle filled with water. He says that he will be the special guest referee at Double or Nothing, but he wants everybody to toast tonight and get along. So he passes around cups and pours, you know, what's supposed to be liquor, but it's obviously water, gives everybody water. And Sonjay Dutt, you got to call it out like it was. It was very, very corny. Sonjay Dutt takes the bottle, takes a big slug, and he spits it in the face of Dax Harwood, which is not that big of a deal because in storyline, I mean, of course, water is the logical thing to use. But he wound up when he did it. Like, he took this giant slug, pulled backwards, and Dax is looking right at him as he's doing this. And then he spits the water, alcohol, in Dax's face, and it looked a little bit corny. So anyway, the bottom line is Dax is blinded by it. Jeff Jarrett pushes Mark Briscoe into Dax, and since Dax is blinded, he inadvertently pile drives Mark Briscoe, and Mark Briscoe is hurt and he's pissed. So he's special guest referee. They had to do that tonight, so to give a reason as to why Mark Briscoe might not be on the side of FTR with this. That's why they did the segment tonight. You know, job done. Well done. But segment itself, little mixed reviews online. I got a couple of DMs tonight, people laughing. Roderick Strong, you got to love him, but he's not very intimidating. Jericho's in the back. He's got a court order. When he's in the building, Adam Cole is banned, and Roderick Strong comes up and confronts Jericho, and he wants to challenge Jericho to a fight next week. Not a regular match, but a fight. Falls count anywhere. And Jericho agrees, signs the contract, and then Roddy reveals that the Jericho Appreciation Society, along with Adam Cole, are banned from ringside. But Roddy is just so unintimidating when he talks. And honestly, if you watch the segment where he's calling out Jericho, I almost heard it in my mind, like, oh, come on! I'm a big fan of Roddy Strong. I mean, anybody that tunes into my shows, you know that. We joke lightheartedly about Roderick Strong, but his promo tonight, you know, maybe not as intimidating as you expect it to be. So, Daniel Garcia loses his bid for the international title. Orange Cassidy wins this, and I got to be honest with you, might be my favorite Orange Cassidy title defense yet. Daniel Garcia, very, very quietly, is turning into a really funny, charismatic sports entertainer. He's a wrestler, you know, absolutely. But he is really, you know, like, no, not a lot of focus. Don't have to hear, you don't have to tell us what he is and what he isn't, even though they still do it on occasion. But Daniel Garcia is really starting to find it. Just to act like a sports entertainer and a wrestler at the same time. And Orange Cassidy, man, he could go. He could go. There was a, you know, it has usual antics, no question. But Orange Cassidy tonight shows once again that the guy, when it's required, can put it out there. And towards the end of the match, you know, you had Orange Cassidy getting his hand stopped. That's probably the only thing I don't like about the whole match. Daniel Garcia is stomping Orange Cassidy's hand repeatedly over and over and over and over again. And immediately afterwards, they're exchanging a bunch of fruit roll-ups. But Orange Cassidy really hooks Garcia and locks him in and pins him. And the finish was fabulous, but he was no-selling for the most part the hand. The hand should have been broken almost in storyline. But I tell you, probably my favorite Orange Cassidy title defense so far. Daniel Garcia, got to give him a lot of credit. He is progressing quietly and nicely. Christian Cage tonight getting a crazy amount of heat from the crowd. Brings up the daddy issues from Jungle Boy to Wardlow. What is it with these wrestlers and their daddy issues? He brings up... he's like, I'm not going to disrespect Wardlow's father. You know, it's not my problem that his father wasn't famous. Nobody gave a shit about him. But Christian was getting mega heat tonight. Crowd was chanting, Edge is better. Edge is better. And then he goes after Arn Anderson. Now, I hope they're not leading to a Brock Anderson-Christian Cage match. It sure damn feels like they are. But Arn Anderson, Christian is ripping the crap out of him. Saying that, you know, just like Wardlow was looking for a new father, Arn Anderson was looking for a new son because his son let him down. You know, Arn saw Wardlow in the gold, and he's like, fuck Brock. You know, I mean, Christian and Kate didn't curse, but man, did he get some massive heel heat tonight. Jesus. But again, I just hope they're not leading to a Brock Anderson-Christian match. Not something that I'm really interested in seeing. Anna Jay losing to Julia Hart in a falls count anywhere, well, anything goes match, that could probably be a better way to put it. It was a decent match. They worked hard. They brawled. The pitcher-in-pitcher commercial helped them a little bit because there was a couple of moments where it really, really was not gelling all that well. Finishing the match a little botched. There's a whole bunch of chairs in the middle of the ring. And basically what was supposed to happen was Julia Hart was supposed to suplex Anna onto the chairs. And when she did, Anna Jay's feet, like, hit one of the chairs. Did not look good at all. But Julia Hart puts a submission move on Anna Jay, the Heartless Submission, which looked good. So she got the tap-out win. And it was a good match. You know, for their standards, one of the better matches, no question. This segment, you know, Buddy Matthews on Twitter really made it sound interesting about the House rules. Now, I'm going to read it to you as Buddy Matthews, how he explains it. Like, because as we said last week, the House of Black has their House rules. So anyway, rule number one, 20-second countouts. Because you will not be safe on the outside, you will not run away when it gets hard. We force you to be harder or force you to cave under the pressure. Okay, no issues there. Rule number two, no rope escapes. Because the true nature of man is measured in its ability to withstand pain, there is no easy way out. You will fight or you will submit. I like it. Number three, DQ is enforced. You break the tradition, you forfeit your chance. The entire world will watch as you admit that you do not have what it takes, and you must live with the embarrassment your entire life. That's if you get yourself DQ'd. And rule number four, dealer's choice. That's the opposition. You decide the last rule. Why? Because it's fair, and balance is all we have. Unfortunately, there was no rule in there that the lights get dimmed. Because when the match started, they dimmed the lights. And I got to be honest with you, I fucking loved it. Gave me such a retro flashback of going to old school WWF shows. And when the matches would start, they would dim the lights almost to black. And all the focus would be in the ring. I watched, believe it or not, the other day, don't ask me why, I watched Rocky One again. And if you remember when he was in that match early on and the lights were out, oh, it was great. It was great. But, you know, since the best friends and Bandido get to choose the final rule, it was a little goofy, you know, because Julia Hart's a witch. I think it was Trent that said that, you know, all right, so all witches are banned from ringside. So Julia Hart was banned from ringside. Match was okay. Loved the lighting. We had some commercial breaks, a lot of commercial breaks at some times that we didn't want them tonight. I mean, that happens pretty much every week. Tonight, I think it was a little bit more noticeable. I saw more complaints online than usual, but House of Black win, Dante's Inferno by Brody King on Chuck Taylor, no surprise there. After the match was over, and I have nothing against this guy, but it was funny. Orange Cassidy is shown on the screen, laid out, and they flash the camera up, and nobody in the crowd reacted because it's once again what we've talked about before. For some reason, AEW thinks that a lot of New Japan wrestlers are household names. They show Kyle Fletcher of Aussie Open, and until he actually said, Aussie Open, and, you know, like, then the crowd reacted a little bit, like, oh, that's who it is. Oh, yeah, that's right. And, yeah, he got no reaction whatsoever. So apparently he wants to go after Orange Cassidy. So you'll probably end up seeing Orange Cassidy versus Kyle Fletcher in the near future. And then the main event, as we talked about a little bit on the open, Kenny Omega, it loses to Jon Moxley in a steel cage. Bryan Danielson on commentary before the match even started. The Young Bucks, Wheeler Yuta and Claudio, they're brawling on the outside. You know, one spot that was kind of corny. Wheeler Yuta and Claudio are off the stage on the floor standing. And Nick Jackson is getting in the face of Bryan Danielson, who's at the commentator's table. And Nick Jackson taunts him, then turns around and runs across the stage, dives off the stage onto Wheeler Yuta and Claudio. And they were just standing there, waiting this entire time to be caught. So the dive was impressive, but you know what led up to it was kind of goofy. But bell rings, match officially starts, and we get violence. And you know, Moxley is busted open pretty good. Kenny Omega is bleeding a little bit from the back area. Moxley is hit in the back with a barbed wire wrapped chair. Later on, a funny moment, Jon Moxley slams Kenny Omega's head into the corner camera, that camera that's behind a ring post. And after he slams the camera, I guess Moxley realized like how good that looked on TV. And he smiles and he kisses the camera, which was funny. Later on, Jon Moxley suplexes Kenny Omega onto that barbed wire chair. That was the focus of the early on of the match. But again, commercial breaks. But the good thing about the commercial break this time around is the match started at like 10:40. So there was a decent amount of time given to it. So it's not like they started a quarter to a 10-2, and then you go to a commercial and you realize, oh, we only have 5 minutes left. When they came back from commercial, I think they have more than 10 minutes still. So during a commercial, Moxley takes off the top rope. He's using it to try to choke out Kenny Omega. Loud Kenny Omega chants. Then John Moxley takes out the broken glass. Now, you realize during the match, the broken glass is not real, and it shouldn't be real. I'm going to make that clear. You know, when John Moxley is rubbing his back and moving against it, you saw that nothing was like digging into his back or cutting it open. And don't get me wrong, that, you know, rigged glass, especially when you get the sugar bottles, there are some legitimate sharp points to it. You know, when it breaks into little plastic pieces, that shit could still dig into you. You know, I felt it, you know, because we had a bunch of bottles back in the day. I used to have them on display in my house, and we were fucking around and broke one. And believe me, I tell you, if you ever break one of those bottles, you know, they could actually still cut you. But it looked great. It still looked great. So Moxley dumps a little bit of broken glass in the ring. Kenny Omega lands a V-trigger. Exchanges a couple of slaps with Moxley in the middle of the ring. Two more V-triggers and a snapdragon suplex. And Moxley is on the glass. And then we get the spot that we needed in order to introduce Don Callis in this match. John Moxley is leaning on the side of the cage, you know, inside the cage. And Kenny Omega runs from one side of the ring and tries to land a V-trigger on Moxley as he's leaning on the side of the cage. So obviously that side of the cage was rigged to break apart. And as soon as he lands the V-trigger, the side of the cage breaks. Moxley falls outside the ring. Kenny Omega's leg is kind of like tangled between the cage and the metal rod holding the bottom part of the cage. And he's selling the right leg. And it looked great. And the officials are tending to Omega. Moxley throws him back in the ring and grabs a screwdriver from somebody at ringside. And just when Moxley was going to stab Kenny Omega during this match, Don Callis hits the ring. And you could see it a mile away because Don Callis grabs the screwdriver from Moxley. Moxley turns around, looks at Callis. Callis is like, oh, don't hit me. And Kenny Omega hits a ribcord and a V-trigger to Moxley. And Don Callis is standing on the apron, so you know something else is coming. So what happens? Kenny Omega hits the one-winged angel. And right before the count, here comes Don Callis, breaks up the three count, nails Kenny Omega in the top of the head. That allows Moxley to get the win. And Kenny Omega, you know, juices a little bit after the match is over. Kenny Omega is kneeling in the middle of the ring at Callis's feet. Callis picks up his head. Kenny Omega's shown busted open, a little bit unconscious. And Don Callis has the screwdriver. Now you're saying to yourself, he's not going to stab him right center camera right before we go off the air. You know, it's just, you know, they did that with Takeshka, and it looked goofy going off the air like that. So Callis did the right thing. Callis teased like he was going to jab Kenny Omega with it, but instead throws it on the ground, starts yelling at Kenny Omega, and gives him a kiss. It's almost like the kiss of death. And he points to the scar on his head, which is legit. And he is getting killed by the fans. The fans are booing the shit out of Don Callis, which was the right way to go. And that's how they go off the air. So again, Don Callis now anti-elite. I could see it a mile away. Don Callis offers his knowledge of the elite. I know everything about Kenny Omega. I know everything about the elite. You know, he's going to pitch himself to the Blackpool Combat Club. And the Blackpool Combat Club, I think, storyline purposes, accepts, allows, you know, is willing to take the knowledge, soak it in from Don Callis. But I think once everything is said and done, I think the Blackpool Combat Club will be like, yeah, we don't need you anymore. And they turn on Don Callis, which means he'll have to sell a beating down the line. He's going to have to sell something. He might have to get busted open again. And I'm not kidding when I say that. So Rampage this weekend is going to air. It's Saturday night, 10 p.m. For those that want to maybe check it out, Butcher and the Blade, along with Kip Sabian, are going to take on the Acclaimed of Billy Gunn. Action Andretti versus Kyle Fletcher. Tony Storm versus Allison Kay. Swerve Strickland and Brian Cage versus Alex Reynolds and John Silver. And the Guns will be talking. Next week's Dynamite, as we said earlier, we're going to get Roderick Strong versus Chris Jericho on a Falls Count Anywhere. During Dynamite tonight, the Outcast issued the challenge to Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter, and Kairi Sane. And they will have a six-woman tag next week. So that match looks like it ain't happening for Double or Nothing. So now you got to start thinking to yourself, are we going to get a mixed tag match at Double or Nothing? Could we possibly get Adam Cole and Britt Baker teaming up against Saraya and Chris Jericho? I think that's a possibility. I mean, there's no news reporting that. There's no rumors. But you kind of feel like, especially with the way that they pitched All Access, and there is going to be a second season of it, that if this is going to be AEW's power couple, that they may have to have footage of them in a mixed tag match. I think it could happen. And as we said earlier, Ricky Starks takes on Jay White next week. I'm a little disappointed that that match is not happening at Double or Nothing. I hope Ricky Starks is featured predominantly on AEW Collision. I don't know, there's something, it just, you saw this a mile away. When he was feuding with MJF, still remember that night he cut that promo with MJF, and we all said it was epic, it was awesome. Let's see 2-3 months from now if they're pushing him. You remember that conversation clearly. Give it a couple of months, let's see where he's at on the food chain. Look at Hobbs. I mean, it's just over and over and over and over again. So, right now, officially, we only have two matches for Double or Nothing. Last week, we got into a whole bunch of rumored matches. The only one that kind of has changed is a six-woman tag, which might turn into a mixed tag. I'm not sure about the mixed tag, though. I almost would rather see Jericho and Adam Cole one-on-one. But in storyline, the mixed tag is probably the better way to go. But MJF versus Sammy Guevara versus Jack Perry versus Darby Allin for the World Championship. FTR defending the tag titles against Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. So we got to give some best wishes to Eddie Kingston. He underwent successful hernia surgery yesterday, and he will be out of action until late July or early August if everything goes on schedule. I mean, for regular human folk like you and I that don't have to run and do the stuff that pro wrestlers do, you can recover a little bit sooner. But as far as in the ring and doing what he does, late July, early August is more realistic. He's had the injury since the fall of 2022 and worked through it as long as he could, but needed the surgery, and he finally got it. So we wish Eddie Kingston a speedy recovery. For those that live in the Boston, Massachusetts area, you might be interested in this, that July 19th AEW Dynamite is going to be taking place at the TD Garden. And people have pointed out that when they've come to Boston before, they have booked the much smaller Aganis Arena. This time they're going TD Garden. So you think about Punk's return and you think about, hey, you know. So that's why, like I say, when you think about this hard split, you start booking venues, especially if it's Dynamite, ain't no fucking way that you're going to strap yourself and say, oh, this person is going to be on Collision. And it's not just CM Punk, others as well. But, you know, as we've been saying for a while, I think Miro is heavily featured on Collision. That doesn't mean that he's only on Collision. You know, you want to look forward to certain people on a certain night. It's just like Raw and SmackDown. You know, compare Raw and SmackDown to Collision and Dynamite. And, you know, I know WWE, it's more clear cut with their draft and roster split, but, you know, they do their free agent thing. every company does their rosters differently. You know, AEW, just because WWE does a draft doesn't mean AEW needs to do it. Just because WWE has free agents doesn't mean that AEW needs to do it. Just because they have people that are designated just for Raw and designated just for SmackDown doesn't mean AEW needs to do it. If you advertise certain people and people want to see them wrestle, they will watch it. Simple as that. And when you record, especially if you do shows back-to-back nights, or if you do a double show on one night once in a while, you know, you don't see very often somebody wrestling twice in the same night. That's why Dynamites and Rampages have always had different people performing on them. All right. Got some news for you regarding Impact Wrestling that I definitely think is worth taking note of. New Japan Pro Wrestling was supposed to tour Australia in June. And this was announced, I think, as early as maybe even January. And it was supposed to be the Oceania Cup. Anyway, New Japan Oceania Cup. And it was supposed to take place in Australia for Sunday, June 25th. Actually, that weekend, I should say. Unfortunately, that will be AEW's Forbidden Door. So there's going to be a lot of wrestlers from New Japan that are going to be unavailable to go all the way to Australia. And as a result, New Japan Pro Wrestling has pulled back and they have canceled their upcoming tour of Australia. Now, if you look at the press releases for what was going to happen in the city of Wagga Wagga, I think it is. Not Fozzie Bear's Waka Waka Waka. No, it's Wagga Wagga, New South Wales. You know, they were advertising activities, autograph signings, appearances. You're going to have, you know, wrestlers from Australia, you know, commingling with New Japan. It was supposed to be like a four-day event. So New Japan canceled. So now in their place will be Impact Wrestling. Impact Wrestling will be going to Australia. They're going to go from June 29th to July 1st. They're going to have autograph signings, activities. There's going to be, you know, some wrestling events as well. And, you know, I know the first question a lot of people are going to say, is Trinity going to be part of that tour? I have no idea. They have not announced anybody yet as far as the tour. Listen, it was only a couple of days ago, I believe, that we even learned that Impact Wrestling will be replacing New Japan for this tour of Australia. But I will give you an idea that I think is great. Probably wouldn't happen, but I still think it's great. Goldberg. It's been a lot of talk about Goldberg having a retirement tour. And as long as it doesn't end up like Hulkamania's tour of Australia, remember whatever it was 15 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever. I don't remember the year it was, but it was awful. Yeah, that was a nightmare if you go back and you look at the highlights. But Goldberg wants to do a little retirement tour. WWE doesn't seem to be giving him what he feels he deserves. And Rick Bassman. Anybody that's a longtime wrestling fan, especially if you go back to my Hotline days, that is a name from the past. Rick Bassman, wrestling promoter, he claims he's been in contact with Goldberg about possibly doing a show in Jerusalem. And that would happen in September, which would coincide with the 26th anniversary of Goldberg's WCW on main roster debut. Sting may be getting involved as well. So I'm shocked to hear that Rick Bassman is the one that might be heading all of this. Now, Barry Bloom, who's Bill Goldberg's agent, is also involved with this. So I don't want you to think that Rick Bassman is the sole person behind this. I mean, I haven't heard that name in ages, but here's my idea. I would have Goldberg work some now in Impact Wrestling. No contract, just a couple of dates. Impact is going to be traveling to Australia in late June. I mean, obviously, that is 6 weeks away, so that is a short amount of time maybe for Goldberg to have a match. But guess what? You don't even have to announce a match for Goldberg at Impact in Australia. You could do a segment. You could have a heel come out, cut a promo, heel promo on Australia. Goldberg could come out, spear, jackhammer. You could have a wrestler who's $1.90. You don't have to have somebody the size of The Undertaker or Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar. I'm sure Goldberg would have no problem manhandling someone that is smaller. And if it's a chicken shit heel, I think the crowd would eat it up anyway. So I'm just throwing the idea out there. I think if Impact could work something out and have Goldberg go with them to Australia, maybe they do a match in Canada. You don't have to advertise Goldberg's last match. I want to make that clear. That's why I think it could be doable, because you could just, Goldberg's going to have a retirement tour, and you could set a final date, let's say the end of September in Jerusalem. That's the final date. But for the months leading up to the end of September, he could work a couple of dates for Impact. I think it's a great idea. I don't know about you. By the way, as far as that Australia tour, you know who's going to be on that tour with them as well? What's his face? Conrad Thompson. You know, the other podfather out there. I listen, I've always been a fan of Conrad Thompson. I've had some arguments and debates with people over the years about Conrad. Conrad knows how to hustle. I appreciate Conrad. I don't think I've ever criticized the guy. That guy knows how to make money, man. And I will never forget the generosity that he offered me when they did the first StarCast. I will never, ever forget that. And for some of you that don't know, and you could ask him. I mean, he'll tell you. You know, the first StarCast, they were going to have something called Podcasters Row. And it was going to be a whole bunch of podcasters, and they were going to be able to interview people and this and that. They were going to be able to do simulcast their podcast from there. But, you know, for most podcasters, you had to pay to be part of it. And it was thousands of dollars. Not only did Conrad reach out to me, and he reached out to Kevin Castle as well and said, look, we'd love for you to be part of Podcasters Row. And my first thought was, I'm not fucking paying that kind of money. And he said to me, he said, no. He says, we'd love for you to come. The only thing I had to do was get my ass there. Hotel, appearance, didn't have to pay anything. Like, he wanted us to be part of, and we actually, I think we had a billboard. I may still have it, that we were announced early on that we were going to be at StarCast. But unfortunately, it didn't work out. I couldn't get off from work. Kevin couldn't get off either. I think at that time we were having a little bit of issues as well, and it never happened. But we were going to be on Podcasters Row, and we didn't have to pay nothing. And I always appreciated that generosity. And he really said some great compliments about me and Kevin at the time. And I always thought that was awesome, because he didn't have to. You know, we didn't know him from Adam for the most part, but he's going to be with Impact, and he's going to be doing a podcast while he's there. Wouldn't that be awesome if he hosts a Q&A with Goldberg with something with Impact? I don't know if this will get back to anybody, you know, in Impact or even Conrad, but I think they should try to work out something with Goldberg. I really do. I think it would be good. All right, very quickly, next weekend, actually, no, in 2 weeks, 26th of May. Wow, big weekend. That weekend, May 26th, it's going to be Impact Wrestling. Then we got Double or Nothing. Then we got NXT Battleground coming up. And then we got also Saudi Arabia coming up. Shit, we got some events coming up. Right now, Trinity has an open contract for Undersieged. A lot of people don't know who she's going to be facing yet. There's going to be a number one contender six-way match. Frankie Kazarian versus Moose versus Alex Shelley, Jonathan Gresham, Eddie Edwards, and Yuya Uemura. For the X Division title, Trey Miguel is going to defend against Chris Sabian. For the Knockouts, last chance match. This is the last chance for Jordan Grace. She's going to face Deonna Purrazzo. And for the Impact World Championship, Steve Macklin will defend against PCO. So that is the current lineup for Under Siege. We'll give you the final card in 2 weeks. NXT yesterday, if you're a fan of NXT and missed yesterday's show, you should check it out. It had a little bit of everything. And overall, I enjoyed that show from beginning to end. Now, you know, some news. We talked about it briefly on Monday's episode, our Raw preview, well, Raw recap, Raw review, post-show, and we were previewing NXT. And WWE revealed the 8 participants that are going to be in this tournament for the Women's Championship, and Gigi Dolan made some big news yesterday. Very, very controversial. I'll tell you why in a moment. But the opening brackets were going to be Gigi Dolan versus Tiffany Stratton, Roxanne Perez versus JC Jane. That's on one side of the tournament. On the opposite side is going to be Lyra Vaccaria versus Kiana James and Fallon Henley versus Cora Jade. The predictions that I gave on Monday was going to be Tiffany Stratton over Gigi Dolan, JC Jane losing to Roxanne Perez, Lyra Vaccaria over Kiana James, and Cora Jade over Fallon Henley. And I think Cora Jade could very well win this women's championship tournament. I know a lot of people think Tiffany Stratton and Roxanne Perez is a little bit of an enigma right now. I don't understand the usage of Roxanne Perez since even before WrestleMania, if you think about it. So I have a feeling Cora Jade could possibly pull this out. But yesterday, the first two matches in the tournament went down, and Kiana James lost to Lyra, as we expected, and Gigi Dolan lost to Tiffany Stratton, as we expected. But after NXT went off the air, Gigi Dolan created some big buzz online because she went on Instagram and posted 5 words, technically 3 words and 2 initials, but we're playing semantics, 5 words. And she had a black screen, and in very, 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 very tiny print, she wrote, "I miss being PK, Priscilla Kelly." That caused a lot of controversy. I mean, yes, WWE, you know, gives a little bit more creative freedom and allows people online to be a little bit more laxed, acknowledging people's past. But her writing, "I miss being Priscilla Kelly." Some people are wondering, is she kind of tired of being in WWE or NXT? I mean, I still feel, with all due respect, nothing against Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, but to me, that was Gigi Dolan and JC Jane's spot to have. And WWE split them up, and I don't think either one has been the same since. And Gigi Dolan obviously has a big, bright future. You know, to me, she's got that Paige vibe that, if you understood Paige's vibe early on in her WWE career, you know why I say that. But them as Toxic Attraction, you know, you almost feel like they split them up so people would forget about Mandy Rose. Listen, they're teasing somebody who attacked a whole bunch of women in NXT. I know everybody's talking about Blair Davenport and a few other names. I want Mandy Rose to return. Yes, I will agree with everyone who's going to say it. Mandy Rose was way overdue, should have been back to the main roster. But even look at the names that I just mentioned. Tiffany Stratton, Roxanne Perez, Fallon Henley, Cora Jade, Kiana James, Lyra Vaccaria. And there's others. You know, Mandy Rose would still have a decent number of people that she could go at it with in NXT. You know, this is not the same women's division of a year ago. I agree she should be on the main roster. But, man, I would fucking pop if the person attacking the women was Mandy Rose. That's what I would do. But realistically, I don't think that's happening. So, other matches from yesterday. The Dyad lost to Gallus. Match was okay. You know, I'm still annoyed that the Dyad are going to be leaving soon. Unless maybe they work out a deal with WWE, which I'm holding out for. But, you know, we had Ivy Nile get into it with Ava Rain, which distracted the Dyad, which caused them to lose. Duke Hudson versus Javier Bernal. Duke Hudson wins it, and I tell you, I am blown away how over Duke Hudson has become with Chase University. I never in a million years ever thought it would work I got to be honest with you, it's working. It's not the greatest, but I'm shocked. Like, I could never envision him in Chase University. I just thought he had very little personality. And, man, is he proving me wrong. He's really starting to put it together with this Chase University stuff. Eddie Thorpe over Damon Kemp. My favorite match of last night, Charlie Dempsey over Tyler Bate. Man, if you want to see a good match of William Regal's son and you want to see a good match with Tyler Bate, go out of your way and watch that match. That match was so much fun to watch yesterday. Ilya Dragunov over Dijak by DQ. He used the chair, got disqualified. Josh Briggs and Brooks Jensen over Hank Walker and Tank Ledger. During the match, Tank Ledger lost a tooth. He actually got knocked in the mouth. I guess he realized that his tooth was pretty much why he literally pulled the tooth out of his mouth and he stuck it in his tights. I don't know if it stood there for the whole match, but he legitimately lost the tooth yesterday during the match. And your main event was Bron Breakker over Trick Williams using a Steiner recliner. Carmelo Hayes comes out afterwards and they get into it a little bit to set up Battleground. Totally loving what they're doing with Bron Breakker right now. Definitely the right decision to not bring him to the main roster yet. He, every week, you could feel a little bit more and more him putting his heel persona together, and it was the right way to go. It is working like a charm, and it also hides the fact that Carmelo Hayes doesn't really have anybody else that he could feud with right now. And I certainly, and I've said this before, I do not want Trick Williams to turn on Carmelo Hayes. Trick Williams, people are seeing it, man. That guy is going to be a star. He's got it. And all the focus has been on Carmelo Hayes for the most part. Not taking anything away from Carmelo Hayes, but Trick Williams has it, I'm telling you. So we're moving right along, and we're going to wrap up tonight's show with two other news tidbits. Very quickly, MLW responded to WWE's motion to dismiss the antitrust lawsuit. And, you know, it's interesting because MLW right now, they're actually starting to make a little bit more sense because MLW is bringing up, you know, WWE's assertion that, you know, they feel that there's no such market as far as professional wrestling programming. What they're trying to say is that when networks decide they want to have pro wrestling, they could simply replace pro wrestling with another show. MLW claims that pro wrestling targets a unique demographic, a unique group of people, which they got to be really careful about because, if you remember, wasn't that one of the reasons why Reels brought them in? They thought that the On Patrol Live viewers were also wrestling fans and would tune into Reels. But, you know, WWE claims that Reels sought distribution. Remember when I told you that Reels worked out a deal with Peacock? And because of that, whenever MLW Underground was on, that Peacock would just black out. You would have a blank screen for the hour that it was on. Well, when Reels made the deal with Peacock, it was after Reels made its agreement with MLW. So the point I'm making is that what WWE claims is that Reels still sought out Peacock, even though they had pro wrestling already. So WWE does not stop, you know, a network from having wrestling on, and a network is not, you know, forced to not negotiate because of wrestling that they have on. What I think WWE, you know, omitted, and I'm surprised that MLW didn't bring it up, was that why was Peacock blacking out, you know, MLW when it was on Tuesday nights? Now, I know what some of you are going to say. Well, because it was the agreement, you know, WWE is on this and that. Yes, I think MLW should have really focused on that in the court. But MLW, you know, they're kind of, you know, they should make WWE eat their words a little bit more. You know, when they say that wrestling attracts a unique audience and a specific demographic, you got to post examples, and you can't just simply refer to people's Twitter posts and everything like that. So I think MLW has a little bit of an argument, but you can't simply rely on WWE to kind of like put their foot in their mouth, you know, because their lawyers are too, you know, they're too slick. These are high priced, you know, experienced lawyers that have been defending WWE for decades. And other people have tried to sue WWE for countless things, reasons, antitrust, you know, wrongful this and concussion lawsuits and, you know, discrimination and, you know, just up and down the board. And WWE's Teflon. And the only excuse people keep making online is, oh, the courts, they're in the back pocket of WWE. I mean, I don't know how you could base that, especially when you realize that a lot of these lawsuits are out of New York, California, Connecticut, you know, not the biggest Republican areas, you know, since a lot of people feel that the McMahons are Republican, you know, so I think that argument really doesn't stand. So, all right, one last thing I wanted to mention. It's more regional for my New York homeboys and for those that may travel to New York for special wrestling events, whether it's AEW or WrestleMania or something else. There's something going down right now that has definitely gotten the eyes of a lot of people online. Unfortunately for a lot of wrestling news sites, they didn't bother to actually look at the story. They interpreted it away, and half of the sites are reporting it wrong. What is happening in New York, and believe me, this actually does affect future wrestling. It might attract other promotions. You might actually have, you know, more events in New York if the outcome ends up what people hope it to be, but I don't know if it will be. Here's the deal. Right now, the New York State Senate has ordered the New York State Athletic Commission to do a review about professional wrestling. And I'm going to give you this simple English version of it so you can understand it, and I will tell you from firsthand experience why this is a big deal. New York State Senate ordered the New York State Athletic Commission to review if pro wrestling should continue to be regulated. Right now in New York, pro wrestling is regulated. Contrary to a lot of news sites out there, they think the opposite is happening. They think that New York is trying to regulate pro wrestling. If you even look, and I don't want to name any wrestlers from GCW, but you probably know who I'm talking about. They even cracked some jokes about the New York State Athletic Commission saying like, oh, you know, I could do this, but I can't do that. They think that New York is trying to regulate pro wrestling or make it stricter. It's the opposite. They want to review if wrestling should continue to be regulated. Now, I want to read you something very quickly. And even if you don't live anywhere near New York, you'll find this interesting. New York State wants the commission to consider the extent to which organizations that infrequently sponsor or host pro wrestling events require regulation. Simple English, should wrestling remain to be regulated? They want the athletic commission to consider to the extent to which wrestling events that do not involve competition require regulation. Examine the regulation of pro wrestling in other states. Consult with pro wrestling participants, stakeholders, and any entity or individual may assist in identifying areas of concern regarding the safety of professional wrestlers and spectators. They also want to give their findings for the need for regulation for pro wrestling and if some form of regulation is recommended. So basically, they want an overview. And the reason why I say this is a big deal, I'm going to give you a little piece of history, and I'll be very vague about it because I could talk a half hour about it if I want. And I'm sorry if some of this story is something some of you have heard before. But I worked behind the scenes for XPW in 2002 and part of 2003. I was in Philly when XPW first showed up in Philly, did Hostile Takeover and everything else that happened. I remember at that time how everybody in the neighborhood, some websites and even some promotions were doing everything they could to prevent XPW from coming to Philly. They were passing around flyers, porn is coming to your neighborhood. If people remember Boogaloo and Lowrider, they were banned from Ring of Honor because they did a match for XPW. I was in somebody's house when I think it was Boogaloo might have been on the phone. He's like, look, I just want to get some money for my family. And Ring of Honor was playing hardball with them. So there was a lot of things going on. But here's where it comes in with the commission. In Pennsylvania, after Hostile Takeover, there was major controversy because in the match with Shane Douglas and Terry Funk, Terry Funk pulled the panties off of Lizzie Borden. Supreme and Angel were brawling into the women's bathroom during that event. And somebody made the bullshit claim that the daughter or niece of the state, somebody in the state athletic commission, was in one of the stalls when Angel and Supreme went into the bathroom and were brawling and bleeding. So what happened was Philadelphia State Athletic Commission, I remember Frank Talent, who was a really, really cool guy, old man, but man, he was charismatic. Frank Talent, I remember. Philadelphia State Athletic Commission set up an emergency meeting with all of the promoters, the major promoters that did wrestling in Philly. I remember they wanted somebody from 3PW, which was Jasmine St. Clair's group, Ring of Honor, WWE, TNA, XPW, CZW, and they wanted to have this emergency meeting. And I just talked to Bill Apter a couple of years ago about this, because Bill Apter and myself were about 2 of 15 people in the building in the ECW arena a couple of months later, the day that they were going to have this emergency meeting. And I actually brought it up to Bill Apter when we went to the big event like 3 or 4 years ago, and I couldn't believe it. He remembered it. He remembered me, and I was blown away. His memory is sharp. But anyway, the bottom line is this. What Philly was trying to do was ban blood, ban certain types of violence, and the reason why they were doing that was you take away the core of what XPW was. The problem is you were also affecting some other promotions there. If anybody wants to do a little research on their own, if you go back 20 years for Combat Zone Wrestling, you will see they did a lot of shows in Delaware. They did shows in Jersey. And why did they do shows in Delaware and Jersey? Because there was pretty much, you ran roughshod there. You could do whatever the fuck you wanted. Right now, there's only about 20 or 21 states that regulate pro wrestling. That's why even XPW's return in other places, like I always see on social media, oh, you got to come to New York. Oh, you got to come here. You got to come there. And if you notice, some promotions never come to certain states, and that's because it's heavily regulated. And if you look at the regulations in New York, you're not supposed to bleed, you're not supposed to gig, you're not supposed to cut somebody else, you're not supposed to do this. There's a lot of things, and not only that, because I used to work with the Mass Maniac. In New York, you have to carry insurance, you have to have a bond, you have to have an ambulance, you have to have doctors, you have to have this. It costs a lot of fucking money to run a show in New York. So the reason why this is a bigger story, and people aren't talking about it because They don't know it. They didn't live through it. But me being a New Yorker and doing insurance for a living and actually working with companies, I know everything you need to do. In fact, early on, you know, I was seeked out to try to get the bonds and the insurance for XPW. The problem was I wasn't licensed to write insurance in Pennsylvania at the time. But the bottom line is this. If the New York State Athletic Commission comes back to the Senate in November and says, we feel that pro wrestling doesn't need to be regulated, that it's entertainment and this and that, you will see other promotions suddenly come to New York because the requirements and the guidelines and the restrictions will be less. I personally, you know, look, I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news. My gut feeling tells me there ain't no way to drop in regulation. Anytime New York could pull power, make money, you know, in some way, shape, or form, I can't see them pulling back on regulation. But it is very interesting that somebody from the Senate, you know, suggested that the State Athletic Commission review if wrestling should continue to be regulated. That kind of surprised me. You know, you would think the opposite. You would think that maybe wrestling in New York is not regulated and maybe they do want to put regulations because here in New York, They put so many regulations over the last 5 years. If you want to build a house, if you want to gut a house and rebuild a house, you have, in the past, you would hire an inspector that would check your electrical, that would check your plumbing, that would check your heating, check the roofing. They would check a whole bunch of different things. And, you know, you have to pay for it. Now you have to have an inspector that inspects just the electricity. Then you have to hire another inspector that inspects the plumbing. Then you have to hire another inspector. I actually took the 60-hour OSHA class, if any of you know what that is. I actually took that class about 3 years ago because I started looking into the possibility of becoming an inspector, because the inspectors now in New York make insane amounts of money because you need a different inspector for every different part of the house that you're working on. So I just don't believe that New York is actually going to remove regulations. If anything, I would have thought the opposite. But I wanted to put this out there because no one, and I'm not saying it to be cocky or be a jerk, but no one out there is familiar with this, that understands it like this, and didn't know it or deal with it firsthand. And I think this is a big deal. So if by luck they start removing some regulations, you will see some companies that don't ever come to New York will suddenly come to New York. So that also will answer for some of you that live in different areas. If you wonder why certain companies don't come to your state, you got to look at the regulations, if there are any in that, in your state. And then that might answer your question. Like if they have to do a whole bunch of things just to run an event, and there's a lot of things that they cannot do, they'll just turn around and say, you know what, it's not worth it. Let me go to the next state over, because it's a much easier time to deal with it. Like I said, that's why Jersey gets, you know, more events than you would expect compared to New York. All right, I'm going to jet out of here. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I can't believe we got it in 90 minutes. You know, I'm sorry again for those that did want to tune in live tonight. You know, I honestly, you know, I don't mind doing video, don't get me wrong, but, you know, stay up 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, 2, 3 days during a work week is a lot much, you know, especially when a lot of people watch it on replays. It's, you know, we got to have a little bit of a balance here, but I hope you enjoyed this. Definitely send your feedback, and I will return. As far as Wednesday Night Dynamite, I will return next week, and it's going to be a big show because we're going to have the official announcements about AEW. We'll see what they actually do announce and what they don't announce. You know, we're going to see, a lot of people are going to have some explaining to do. And then we are 1 week closer to Double or Nothing, to Battleground, to Under Siege, and we'll get into the usual. So definitely post your feedback. It is very much appreciated. If you enjoy the shows, spread the word. You know anyone out there that would like the shows, post a link. Let them know about it. You know, word of mouth. I mean, that's how a lot of you came aboard. Back in the day, it was TV Tracks and Epic Sports. Now, you know, it's you that could be those entities. So spread the word. Let them know. I'm out of here, everyone. Much love as always, and you all be well. Take care.
Yes. That was cool. Yeah.